In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So this morning in the epistle, we heard one of the perhaps more famous Sunday school verses of the fruit of the Spirit. And we're encouraged that if we are spiritual, if we walk with the Spirit, let us live our life by the Spirit. But I ask you, what Spirit? What Spirit are we joining ourselves to? In the gospel reading today, we encounter a woman with a spirit of infirmity. And in her sin, she had joined herself to the rebellion of the demonic powers against God. And the result is this spirit of infirmity. She was bound by Satan, bent over for 18 years, unable to straighten. And we too, on occasion, join ourselves to the rebellion of the demonic powers against God. This is what it is to sin. But this is not what we're called to. What we're called to is to unite ourselves to God's own Spirit, to be united to the Holy Spirit. The fruit of this Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, you can say them with me if you know them, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. These are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is what God, in His great love for us, intends. And against these things, there's no law. These are universally good things, right? And so we have this woman with a spirit of infirmity. She is not in her natural state. It's the natural state of a human person, including this woman, is to be upright, not bent over, unable to straighten. The natural state of a human person is the fullness of health, not infirmity. And so Christ heals her. He makes her whole and restores her to the state that He created her to be in. And upon seeing this healing, which happened on the Sabbath day, the ruler of the synagogue was upset, we'll say. He was upset because this woman was being released from her infirmity on the Sabbath day, that Christ was doing work. And that's against the law. And what we see here is that this ruler of the synagogue is also being influenced by Satan. He's being influenced by the one who is distressed at losing one of his captives. This woman is being loosed from the bond that Satan held her with, and Satan is not happy. And so this ruler of the synagogue uses the pretense of the law to explain his indignation over her healing. And so Christ explains to him, well, who among us doesn't untie their donkey and let it go get a drink of water on the Sabbath? Untying the donkey is doing work. You're loosing the bond of that animal. And so shouldn't we even more loose the bonds of those of us made in God's image? Christ showed that there is no law that maintains people in the unnatural state of spiritual or physical imprisonment. No law that prevents becoming free in Christ. And we have a similar issue with this ruler of the synagogue to the brother of the prodigal son. The older brother, when his younger, wayward brother returns, is indignant that the father welcomes his brother home. It's that same hardness of heart. And yet, what better reason do we have to rejoice than at the reconciliation of the lost to the Father? When one is healed, when sinners repent, when the estranged are reconciled, this is a cause for rejoicing. This is certainly not a time to be upset and say, they broke the rules. I was good and faithful this whole time, and they didn't do the right thing. Now they're back. I want you to punish them. Oh, rejoice that they're back. Rejoice and be glad. Returning to the epistle, the apostle instructs us to bear one another's burdens, not pile more burdens on one another. As if we do this, the weight of animosity is equally on both the victim and the perpetrator. Both are left to struggle in their sin. But bear the burdens of others upon yourself. Share the load. And how do we do this? What does it mean to bear one another's burdens? Well, you only have to look a few verses previously. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are both the means and the outcome. If anyone has a fault, instead of responding with shame and rejection, St. Paul instructs us to restore them in a spirit of gentleness. And then he also cautions us, but look to yourself so you don't also fall into sin. Welcome the sinner back, the former sinner, the repentant sinner, the reconciled sinner. Welcome them back. And now look to your own heart to make sure that you are not judging them or falling into any other sin. As brothers and sisters, if you endure with my many faults, with grace that comes from God, you lighten my burden. And this allows me then to respond with that same grace when your imperfections also come to light. This is who we were created to be. Jesus calls the infirm woman a daughter of Abraham. And so we've arrived at the first of the three Sundays prior to the Nativity of our Lord. And each of these Sundays has the theme of Christ's heritage. Just a little bit in this one line, daughter of Abraham, today. They all deal with Christ's family tree. And St. Gregory of Palamas has a beautiful commentary on just this one phrase, daughter of Abraham. And so I'd like to read a section from him. He says, as we keep the commemoration of the fathers who lived before and under the law, who shone forth on account of their virtue and godliness, theirs were the prophecies, and to them were the promises given. And from among them, Christ was descended according to the flesh. He was born as we are, but of a virgin, that he might recreate us from what is our own, and through holy baptism, renew us and make us once more capable of containing the grace of the divine spirit, clothing in righteousness and true holiness, the man created after God in himself. He accomplished this righteousness and holiness in his own person, putting the evil one finally to shame, in spite of all sorts of attacks, rightly obeying his father to the end, and showing that obedience to him procures resurrection and true life. And so, we sons and daughters of Abraham, the same humanity from which Christ was born of the Virgin, we have been renewed in holy baptism so that we might follow Christ's own example and approach the fullness of humanity that he desires for us. And as we draw near to Christ's holy nativity, let us bear one another's burdens. To the glory of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.